We're holding on Nun Tes Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Yesh Ta'unis Shemen Levoina. Yesh Ta'unis Shemen Levoina. There are some kinds of menachas that require both oil and levoina to be placed on or with the mincha. Shemen v'loy levoina. Then you have ones where you need oil, but not levoina. Levoina v'loy shemen. You have others where you need levoina, but not oil. V'loy levoina v'loy shemen. And then you have some kinds where you have none of the above. So let's go through it. And the point of it is, the Gemara is going to explain. I mean, so we're going to have this list, but then the Gemara is going to work out how indeed we know it by each one of them. Some of them, of course, it specifies, but some it doesn't. So therefore, the Gemara is going to go through the possible kavachomers and binyan abs and other things that we might have thought to apply what it says by one to the other, and why in each case we have something that tells us that not. So for Eva Tornis Shemin and Levoina, so the following ones require oil and Levoina. Minchas HaSolos, the first one is a mincha of flour. Now the Torah lists for a private person's mincha, there's five ways in which you can bring the mincha. We're going to be discussing all of them later in this perek. We're going to be discussing them again at the end of the Masechta. You have a person can bring a mincha of just flour, which is not baked. And it's mixed with oil. And as you learned earlier in the perek, according to some opinions, it can also be mixed with water to make a dough, but it's not baked. Then you have, then Rashi in fact mentions over here that in fact if a person were to say just generically, I promise to bring a mincha, then he would bring that mincha sasolus. It's actually a machloikas on that point later in the Masechta, whether in fact he davka has to bring that one, or whether or Rabbi Yehuda holds that way, whereas the chachamim over there hold that he can bring whichever of the five he wants. Anyway, so you have mincha sasolus, you have two types that are fried, machmas and malcheshes, which we'll be discussing further on in the perek, and then you have two types of baked ones called rikikin and chalas, which also we're going to discuss soon. So all those, minchas asolas, v'amachmas, v'amacheshes, v'achalas, thick chalas for rikikin and thin wafers, both of which the chalas and the rikikin are both baked, all of those require both oil and levoina. Similarly, minchas koyanim, a mincha that's brought by a koyan. Now, mincha that's brought by a koyan is Rashi points out, by the way, that only by the minchas solos does it explicitly say that there's oil and levoina. The other ones, it just mentions oil, it doesn't mention levoina. But as the Gemara is going to tell us, because it says nefesh, it says v'nefesh kisakri, that when a person brings a mincha, and that applies to any of these five, any one of them an individual can bring. Therefore, the same dinim applies to all of them, and all of them require oil and levonim. So now, you also have a minchas koyanim, also the mincha that's brought by a koyan. Now, that one is basically like a regular mincha, but the difference is that it gets completely burnt on the mizbeach. No koyanim is taken from it and burnt, so therefore the Mishnah needs to spell out for us that you would have thought maybe it should be different in this regard. No, it's the same thing. Minchas Kohen Mashiach, similarly the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol that we learned about in the previous Perek. So that one is the same as a regular Mincha, with the exception of, in terms of its ingredients, we said that it has more oil than a regular Mincha does. It has three logim of oil instead of the usual one. We also talked about how it's fried and baked, so it's one of the different opinions, but in any case it has the same din that it needs oil and it needs Lavona as well. Also, minchas oved kechavim, a mincha brought by a goy, has the same din. Now, this, by the way, and not everybody agrees that a non-Jew can even bring a mincha. It's actually a machloikas. We learned about it in Zvachim, whether a goy can bring any korban. But the halacha is that the only korban he can bring is an oila. So therefore, according to that opinion, that's the halacha, then there's no such thing as a minchas oved kechavim, but our Mishnah is following the opinion that there is. So in that case, and it still has the same din, it would need oil and levoina. Obviously, in other words, if the goy sent along, we're not going to have him send the actual flour or oil. He would make them tame. Levoina, I don't know about. I guess levoina he could be matame as well. But in any case, we're talking about that he'd send money for mincha. Then we would put together all three ingredients and offer it. Minchas noshim. Then you have when a woman brings a mincha. Now, there's not really much of a chiddush in the fact that a woman, that a woman's mincha or a goy's mincha, according to the opinions that he can bring one, can have it. But Keren Ora points out that really the chiddush is in the minchas koinim, and once we're mentioning minchas koinim, then already we're mentioning the other ones as well. Next, minchas ha'omer, and the last one in this group is the minchas ha'omer. Among all of the public menachas, the minchas ha'omer, it's different than the other one in that it's made out of barley flour rather than wheat, but it's the same in that it has oil and levoina. That the Torah clearly spells out. Next, on the other hand, minchas nisachim to an Hashem and ve'en cholim levoina. On the other hand, the minchas nisachim that comes together with an animal korban needs oil but not levoina, as the Gemara is going to work out from the psukim. Lachem aponim, and the lachem aponim is the other way around. Tolim levoina ve'en tolim shemen. It requires levoina, unlike a regular mincha where the levoina is sprinkled on it. Here it's not. It's placed in separate bowls that are placed on or next to the lachem aponim, as we'll learn in more detail later in the Masechta, but still it does require levoina. And as we've learned many times already, that levoina, when it's offered on the Mizbeach, is the functional equivalent of the koimetz of a mincha. Now, once it's offered, then the lachem aponim can be eaten by the koyim. So that requires levoina, but not oil. We don't find it's made with oil. There is, by the way, the point that really, I mean, when we're talking about menachos over here, I mean, the lachem aponim is not really called a mincha per se, but nevertheless, it's similar to a mincha in that it's made out of grain, and therefore we're mentioning it over here. On the other hand, shtei alechem, minchas choto, minchas knos. On the other hand, the shtei alechem that are brought on Shavuos and the minchas choto, the mincha that a person brings as a korban olah v'yored if he's very poor and did and tumas mikdash hakodesh or Shavuos vitri and the other things that make him chayiv in such a korban. So that or minchas knos and the mincha of a choto, all of those ain't torn in lo shemen v'lo levoina. All of those have neither oil nor levoina. In the case of the shtei alechem, as we've learned already, they're made into a dough, which is made chametz. We talked about at the beginning of the perek how exactly we make them chametz, but the dough consists of just flour and water. We discussed earlier, actually, that if it had made peiros in it, if in fact it did have oil in it, would that cause it that now it can't become complete chametz? We talked about the whole machlokas rishonim about whether water plus juice can make complete chametz, which is the accepted halacha, or you have many rishonim who learn that even at that, all it'll do is chametz nukshe, it'll make incomplete chametz, which may be chametz nukshe itself has the din of chametz, but be that as it may, the shtei lechem don't in fact have any oil in them, it's just flour and water. And then the minchas choyte and minchas knos are just flour. We learned previously those can also be mixed with water, but there's no oil and there's no levoina in them. So the Gemara starts off. Omer Papa, call Hecha de Tznan. Whenever we learn this list in the Mishnah, Eser Tznan, we're learning ten. Now Rashi, and so we'll explain in a second what that means. La Puki Midirab Shimon. That means, in other words, Rav Papa wants to tell us that the Mishnah is going not like Rav Shimon. The Omer Mechtzachalus and Mechtzirikik in Yavi. Rav Shimon said later in our Masechta that if a person makes a neder, I'm going to bring minchas mafe tanur, a mincha baked in an oven, of which there are two types. Again, you have chalas, which are thick loaves, and rikikin, which are thin wafers. Both of them cannot be chametz, as we've learned before, but the chalas would be made as thick loaves and then baked right away, and the rikikin would be made as thin wafers. So Rav Shimon says that if a person makes a neder, that he's going to endover, that he's going to be minchas mafe tanu, that he can do it. He says mechza chalas or mechza rekik in yavi, the person can bring if he wants. Now we're going to talk about in a second that when you bring baked or fried menachas, they're supposed to be made out of 10 loaves. So Rav Shimon says it doesn't have to be all 10 of one type. You can have 5 of them be thick loaves and 5 of them be wafers. Therefore, the Papa wants us to know not like that. So what does that mean? Rashi has two explanations. The first explanation is that each of these menachos that we listed in the Mishnah, in the first part of the Mishnah, that require oil and levoina, each of them has to be made out of 10 loaves. So, for example, so you have, now, in the case of the Minchas HaSolos, that's an interesting question, what it means that a Minchas HaSolos on the face of it is not baked, so it's not in loaves at all. So Rashi seems to be implying that what you should do is after the kmitza, you should make it into 10 chalas and then bake it. And in fact, Rashi says, you have later on in the Sefer, we're going to have two versions of Rashi printed on the daf, and later in later beginning after the perek, after next, beginning the seventh perek and running through the tenth, we're going to have two versions of Rashi. The one that's printed as Rashi Ksaviyad is the original from Rashi himself. So he in fact says that later on, that a minchas Solus, at the time you take the koimetz, it's still flour, but then afterwards you're supposed to bake it into 10 chalas. On the other hand, there are implications where Rashi himself seems to imply differently, that Rambam also learns differently, so this explanation would not follow that opinion. According to that opinion, then we would say that a minchas solus at least does not need to be baked into ten chalas. At most, you would have after the koimetz has been offered on the mizbeach, then you would have the koinim bake it and eat it however they want. Anyway, but again, Rashi's first explanation over here is that all the ones mentioned in the Mishnah have to be made out of Davka 10. And then the point would be, when we say not like Reb Shimon, would be where Reb Shimon is saying that if you bring a matzatana or a baked mincha, then it could be five of one type and five of the other, and therefore a papa wants you to know that no, our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon, since it mentions chalas and rikikin separately. That means if you're going to bring chalas, it has to be 10 chalas, and if you bring rikikin, it has to be 10 rikikin. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi's second explanation is if you count the number of things listed in the first part of the Mishnah, then you have 10 of them. Solus, Machmas, Macheshes, Chalas, Rukikim, Koinim, Koin Mashiach, Obikachovim, Noshim, and Minchas Oimer. Those are the 10 that we're saying that require require oil and Levona. And the point would be then, according to that explanation, if the Mishnah was appointed of Shimon, you would have an 11th type, because you could have, when it comes to a baked mincha, you could have 10, you could have all matzahs, you could have all chalas, all rikikim, or half of one and half of the other. And according to Reb Shimon, all those would be equally valid, so then according to Reb Shimon, the Mishnah would have had to list 11 things and not 10. Now, so let's get into this, how we know in each of these cases what the mincha requires and what it does. Turn it up on, we learn in a braisa. When it says about the mincha sa'omer, the nasata, so first of all, when it comes to the first five of the Mishnah, the Gemara is not really going to focus on those. And actually, had pointed out, so the Torah explicitly tells us by Minchas Solus that it has oil and Levona. Since it says the Nefesh Kisakliv, if a person brings as an individual korban, and it goes on to mention the five basic types, then we understand that all of them have the same rules as for, even though by the rest of them it only says oil, nevertheless it means they have Levona as well. But the Gemara is going to focus on the last few in the Mishnah. On the last few from the first list, as well as, or some of the ones from the first list of ones that require oil and levona, and contrast with the ones later with the ones from the other list that require oil and not levona, or levona and not oil. So the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbani, when the pasuk says about mincha sa'omer v'nasata aleha shemen, the pasuk says you should place on it oil. So aleha is a meal." So it means v'loya lachem aponim shemen. So it means you don't put oil into the lachem aponim. Now, why would you have to say that? Sheyachol v'aloy dinhu, because otherwise you would think to make a kabachomer. Or ma minchas nisochim she'en etchuna levona. Ma doch the minchas nisochim, which as the Gemara is going to explain soon, does not require levona. Nevertheless, to una shemen, it requires oil, because the Torah specifies explicitly that it has oil. So you would think lachem aponim shetoun levona. Well, then the lachem aponim, which requires oil, and it didn't shetoun shemen. How much more so we should learn from the minchas nesachim that it also requires oil. Tamad leima aleha. That is why by the korban omer, the Torah tells us specifically aleha, on it you put oil. Aleha shemen v'loya lachem aponim shemen. It means you put oil only on the minchas omer and not on the lachem aponim. Now Tosfos explains like this. The reason is, again, we need to be memayit that you don't have oil, because again, we would have thought to make a kavachomer from the minchas nesachim. So, and then on the other hand, we also have that when we go to the Omer itself, it also requires Lavoina, as it says in the Pasuk. But again, we have a Leha, and the Gemara is going to explain there's a Mirut from that as well. And the point is, again, in order to forestall another Kal v'Chomer that the Gemara is going to, that the Gemara is going to say. Tosfos points out that, you know, like this, you could say, so it shouldn't say the miyutim, it shouldn't say the miyutim at all by oral levona, and each one would have only exactly what it says. But still, the fact is, Tosfos says, you know, here the Gemara is going to be bringing various potential kavachoimers to learn one from the other, and each time we're going to say it's blocked by a word and a pasuk. But the fact is, Tosfos says even without a kavachoimer, we would have just learned it by a binyan av. We would have said that, you know what, in a certain general sense, I mean, the lacham upon him is not strictly speaking called a mincha, but nevertheless, at least it's in the general category of menachas. And Bechlal, Tosfos points out, as we go throughout the sugya over here, we're going to find the various kavachomers the Gemara is going to bring. On the face of it, there's many ways you could slug them up even without resorting to psukim, but nevertheless, though, you still, it wouldn't it just be a matter of kavachomer, it would be a matter of you make a bunch of binyan avs, and you would say to apply what it says from one to the other, and therefore, we actually do need the words. We do actually need the words aleha in the pasuk for the miyotim in order that not only we shouldn't learn kavachomers, which fine, the kavachomers might not be just such strong ones, but to learn that we shouldn't learn binyan avs either. So first of all, from the aleha that it says by oil, we learn that the omer has oil and the lacham aponim does not. Next, the pasuk continues with Samta Aleha Lavona. You should place Lavona on it, on the Omer. Again, means Aleha, Aleha Lavona, Vala Minchas Esachim Lavona. There it means that you put Lavona on the Omer, but not on the Minchas Nesachim. Now the point is, by the Lachem Aponim, it clearly says Lavona, so you can't say there's anything to exclude that. It just doesn't say Shemen, so now we're saying that you shouldn't think to learn it from a different Korban, and the fact is Lachem Aponim doesn't have oil in it. And vice versa, by the Minchas Nesachim, it clearly says in the Pasuk oil, so there's no question it has to have oil, but it never says Lavona. Again, you would have thought to learn it from a different Korban, and therefore the Torah tells us by the Minchas Omer that not. Again, Shiyachov Aloydinu, because again, we might have thought to make a Kavachomer. Umal Lachem Aponim Shein Eton Shemen. The Lachem Aponim doesn't require oil, as we just explained. Ton Lavoina, and yet it does require Lavoina. Minchas Nesachim, Shetoon Shemen. Well, then the Minchas Nesachim, which does require oil, ain't a din, Shetoon Lavoina, shouldn't it be a Kavachomer that it doesn't require Levina. That requires Levina. Tamad Lema Aleha. That is why it says Aleha and connecting with Levina. Aleha Levina v'leam minchas nesachim Levina. So there's Levina only on the Omer and not on the minchas nesachim. So therefore, we have two potential kavachomers that we could have made, but both of them we have the pasuk blocking it. But the fact is, as Tosfos says, even if we were to say that we could slug up these kavachomers, which the Gemara is now going to proceed to do, that you should have a reason to say differently, but nevertheless, not just a kavachomer, we could have learned in other ways as well, and therefore the Torah has to tell us that now. So now the Braisa continues. So far again, we've explained that the Pasuk is telling us that the Minchas HaOmer requires both. Meanwhile, there are two other types of Menachas that need neither. Now, you notice also the Pasuk doesn't, of course, specify which is the other one that we're excluding. That's part of what the Gemara is going to deal with. How we know, for example, in the first part of the Braisa, when it's saying that we say that the Omer requires oil, the Lachem Aponim does not, how do we know it's the Lachem Aponim that we're excluding rather than some other Mincha? We'll get back to that, where we know it can't be the Minchas Nesachim. Fine, because there's oil by that, but how do we know it can't be one of the other types of mincha mentioned in the Mishnah? The Gemara is going to get to that point in a minute. Anyway, the point is, so now the Braisa continues. Now, when after the Pasuk mentions about the Omer, saying that you have to put oil and Levoina on it, and each one you have the word Aletha as a mute to tell you that you don't put it on some other korban. After that, the Pasuk finishes off mincha hi. It is a mincha. So what are we doubting from those words? So mincha, the rabbis mincha shmini la lavona. the word mincha in the pasuk comes to include that also the mincha that was brought on the eighth day of the Mivuim on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, then also so they brought a mincha at that time as mentioned in Parshas Tetzava and in Parshas Shmini. So therefore, so also that one has to have levoina on it as well. So the Sfasemis explains in other words the whole section of Korbanos was said to Moshe on that day, Aleph Nissan. And the reason is because Moshe himself might have thought it's a one-time korban, which the Gemara itself is going to point out at the bottom of the Amud. It's a one-time korban. We might have thought that it doesn't have the rules of regular korbanos, and therefore Hashem has to tell him something in the pasuk to tell him that the mincha you're bringing this day, the eighth day of the Miluim, also needs to have levana. Now, when the pasuk says mincha he, and he is a miut. So that would be v'hotzi shteilachem shlo yitanu lo shemen v'lo levoina. That tells us to exclude the shteilachem that they don't require either oil or levoina. Now, why do we need that? Tosfos points out, after all, the shteilachem is also called a mincha. They grabbed a mincha chadash al Hashem. So you would have thought, therefore, that should be like a regular mincha. And you see, the omer itself is also called a mincha and requires oil and levoina. So therefore, the Torah tells us he to tell us that no, the shteilachem has needed. Next. Okay, so thus far the Braisa. Now let's analyze it. Omar, Aleha Shemen, V'loy Alechem Aponim Shemen. We said there was oil on the Minchas HaOmer, but not on or in the Lechem Aponim. Now, the fact is, fine, we have a mirror from the word Aleha, that there's some Mincha that we're excluding from oil, but why dafka the Lechem Aponim? Ema Aleha Shemen, V'loy Minchas Koyanim Shemen. Maybe it means that you should accept the Minchas Koyanim. After all, Rashi points out, when it talks about a Koyan bringing a Mincha, or for that matter, Rashi says also the menachas of women and goyim that are mentioned in the Mishnah. None of them explicitly says that you bring oil with them. So why are we saying that davka would be we're being memayit the shteilach? And how do we know maybe it's to be memayit those? Tosfos says that no, the difference is the mincha of women or the mincha of a goy is really not any different than a regular mincha. The difference is only who happens to be bringing it. So minchas koyanim, whereas we said the whole thing is burnt, and therefore it has an actual difference in procedure from a regular mincha, you might have thought. So therefore the Gemara is entertaining the possibility that it could be without oil, and that's without oil, and that maybe that's what the Torah is coming to be in my mind. So the Gemara says, no, Mestabra, Minchas Koyanim, Havalei L'Rabuyi. It's more logical to say that we should include a Minchas Koyanim, that it has oil on the Levoina, just like a regular Mincha, Shekain, because it has a lot of similarities to the Omer. The point is, in other words, that if we have a mute by the Pasuk, we have the word Aleha by the Omer, telling us no oil by something else, we want to find something that is less similar to the Omer, and say that that's what the Pasuk is referring to. So we can find there's a lot of similarities between a mincha of koyanim and the omer that you don't have with shteilachem. First of all, isorin. Both of them consist of an isorin, as opposed to lachem aponim. Each chala of the shteilachem is made of two isorinim. Keli. Both of them require a keli. So Rashi explains that it means that each one of them, you need to knead the dough in a keli, as opposed to lachem aponim, which we talked about before. You could conceivably knead it on a mat or something like that. Only when you put it in the oven to bake does it become kaddish. Tosfos points out we had a couple of days ago the whole discussion about which of the kalim of the Beis Mikdash were made holy with the Shemen HaMishcha, which ones the insides, which ones the outsides. We had the opinion that the dry measure is the ones that are used to measure out an Isorin or two Isorin are also anointed and therefore have Kedusha. So in that case, if you were using that to measure out the flour for the Lachem Aponim, then it does have Kedusha. And the lachem aponim as well. The Gemara is trying to say, is trying to ask why it shouldn't need oil, and if it needs oil, it means it would have to be kneaded in a keli. So therefore, no. Tosfos says what it means is that the minchas haomer and the mincha and then the minchas koyanim both have this in common, that you put them in a keli, and that's where you offer them. You take the koymets and you do everything. Or in the case of minchas koyanim, you don't take the koymets, but all of them you put in a keli, and then you continue the process of offering them from there. As opposed to lachem aponim, you don't put in a regular keli, you put on the shulchan, and you put the levoina and the spoons on the shulchan. So that would be, Tosafot says that's a different meaning of what it means that it needs a keli. So far the Minchas Koinim is similar to the Omer. They both are an Isorin apiece. Now Minchas Koinim could be larger than the Isorin. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta that an individual is able to bring a Mincha up to 60 Esroinim in size, all in one keli. But ordinarily it's one Isorin. And the Omer is also one Isorin, as opposed to Lachem Aponim. Again, it's two Esroinim per Chala. They both have in common keli, as we just discussed what that means. More similarities between the Omer and the Minchas Koyanim on the one hand versus the Shela, versus the Lachem Aponim. Chutz, both of them are outside the Heichel, Lachem Aponim, the Lachem Aponim is placed on the Shulchan inside the Heichel. Vitzurah, they both have, as far as the concept called Ibutzurah, namely, as we've learned several times in this Masechta and in Zvachim, sometimes you leave a korban overnight, and you, in general, anytime you leave a korban overnight, it becomes noster and it becomes posel. So on the other hand, the Lachem Aponim stays on the Shulchan for a full week, so it doesn't become posel with lina, which the Gemara is calling over here tsura, meaning ibur, what's called ibur tsura elsewhere. We talked about whether that means actually spoiling, whether it just means that it doesn't look as fresh as it did before. In any case, by the Shulchan, you don't have that. Famously, the Gemara says, we're going to have it later in the Masechta, that the Lachem Aponim, there was a nest, and it would, in fact, stay fresh on the Shulchan from Shabbos to Shabbos, but with other korbanos, it doesn't matter. Other korbanos, no matter how fresh they remain, they're still possible after being left overnight, as opposed to the, and that includes the Omer, and includes the Minchas Koyanim, but it doesn't include the Shealachim. That's Chutz Vitzurah, Hagosha. Then you have a regular Mincha, including a Mincha of Koyanim, as well as the Mincha Sa'omer, has to be touched to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach before they take the Koyanim from it and then continue the Avodah, as opposed to Lachem Aponim, you don't do that. The next Mishnah is going to tell us exactly that. But a couple of Mishnahs further in the Perek is going to talk about that, which ones require Hagosha and which ones doesn't. And the Lachem Aponim is one of the ones that doesn't. And the final difference, v'ishin, as far as the fire, a minchas koyanim is completely burnt on the mizbeach. The omer has a koymetz which is burnt on the mizbeach. As opposed to the lachem aponim, none of it itself goes on the fire. You have the levoina that goes with it, which goes on the fire, but that's not part of the lead. It goes together with the lachem aponim, and it's the necessary prerequisite for it, but the fact is it's not part of the actual lachem aponim. So given all those differences, we have very good reason to say, if the Torah is telling us a meal by the Omer, that it requires oil and there's something else that doesn't, it's more logical for us to exclude the Lachem Aponim than it is to exclude the Mincha of Koyanim or the point of Rashi, any of the other Menachos that went along with it, a woman's or a goy's Mincha. But the Gemara asks, Adrabe, Lachem Aponim, Havalei L'Raboye. But you could argue, on the contrary, maybe we have more reason to include the Lachem Aponim and say that it requires oil and the Minchas Koyanim does not, because we can find several other similarities that the Lachem Aponim and the Omer do and the Minchas Koyanim does not. Namely, Shekem Sibura. First of all, the Lachem Aponim and the Omer are both Korbanos Sibur, or a Mincha of Koyanim, or for that matter, the other ones, women and Goyim, is a Mincha of a Yochin. Choyva, both of them are required to. Minchas Koyanim is not a required thing. If the Koyan wants, he brings a Mincha. Tamya, both of them are the Omer and the Shtela, and the Omer and the Lachem Aponim are both brought, even if the Koyanim are Tamei. As we know, the general rule is Korbanos Tzibur that have a fixed time, Shekavua Lahem Zman, are Doiches Atumah. So that includes the Omer, which has a fixed time, and includes the Lachem Aponim. It doesn't include the Minchas Koyanim, which is a private Korban and has no fixed time. And another distinction, the Ochil, the Minchas Omer and the Lachem Aponim have parts that are eaten. The Omer, after you take out the Koyanim and burn it, the rest of it is eaten by the Koyanim. The Lachem Aponim, the whole thing is eaten by the Koyanim after they burn the Levoina on the Mizbeach. Minchas Koyanim is completely burnt. Pigula, you have by the Minchas Omer and by the Lachem Aponim, there's the capability for them to be pigul. Namely, that as we learned many times already in the Seder, that he has in mind when he's doing one of the avoidus of the matir, the Lavoina in the case of the Lachem Aponim, the Koimitz in the case of the Omer, that he's going to eat or burn or whatever mechutz l'zmanoi, then it becomes pigle, as opposed to by the Minchas Koinim, you can't, because the rule is as we learned in the Zvachim, that in order for something to be able to become pigle, it has to have a matir, it has to have some part of it which is matzah the rest. In the case of the mincha of Purim, you don't have that because the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. So Tosfos points out actually that at the beginning of our Masechta we did have a point that Rava had said that no, the omer cannot become pigle for a different reason, because in general the omer is made out of barley flour, and the barley flour of that quality is not used for any other korban, even the minchas sota, which also comes from barley flour, comes from plain flour, not solus, the good quality stuff. So therefore, so you really have no other case where high quality barley flour is used, and therefore, so Rava had said at the beginning of our Masechta that pigle wouldn't apply to it. So fine, our Gemara is not going like that and is assuming that pigle could apply to it. But again, it won't apply to Minchas Koyanim because there's no matu. And Bishabsa and the Omer and the Shtei Lechem are both offered on Shabbos. A Minchas Koyanim is not. Which really is the same thing, in other words, because there are Korban Sibur, and Korban Sibur are Doicha Shabbos. So therefore, you have many similarities. So you're arguing there are many similarities between the Omer and Minchas Koyanim, and therefore it's more logical Minchas Koyanim should have oil, and that if the Pasuk is telling us a miyut, then it would refer to the Lachem Aponim, but you have so many similarities also between the Omer and the Lachem Aponim. The answer is Misabra Nefesh. It's most logical that where do we learn to begin with that a mincha needs oil on Levoina is when the Pasuk first introduces the mincha solas and says V'nefesh Kisakliv, when an individual brings a korban. And therefore we can learn from that that every minchas yochid, unless otherwise specified, is going to require oil. So the minchas koyanim is after all a mincha of a yochid, therefore we would say it does require oil. And therefore, it's true. We might have thought to say that maybe it applies to the Shtei Lechem, but given that point that fundamentally we're learning from the word nefesh, then we have more reason to say that it should apply only to that it should apply to a minchas koyanim and not to the lechem aponim. Fine. So that takes care of the first part of the braisa. So therefore, when we have a miyut that says that there's some kind of korban that doesn't require oil, we're going to say that refers to the shtei lechem. So the Gemara continues. Omamau. Now let's look at the next part of the braisa. Aleha levoina v'leah minchas nesachim levoina. We said the word aleha in connection with the levoina that's put on the omer teaches us that only it has levoina but not a minchas nesachim. So let's go through the same kind of argument. Ema aleha levoina v'leah minchas koyanim levoina. Maybe what the Torah is being memayed at saying that won't have levoina as a minchas koyanim. And the answer is again, Mistabra Minchas Koyanim Havalei L'Rabbo. Again, we have more reason to assume that we're learning, that we're including the Minchas Nesachim, the Minchas Koyanim, that it should require Levoina, Shekain, because it has various similarities with the Omer. Before we mentioned a number of similarities. They both require a keli. They both are an isarin. They both require hagasha. But now when it comes to levoina, we have other points. Isarin. They're both made of isarin bolol beloig. Both of them are an isarin mixed with a loig of oil. As opposed to the minchas nesachim can be one isarin if it's for a sheet, but it can also be two or three isarinim. But in any case, it's always mixed with more oil than that, as we learned before. Minchas nesachim of a sheep, anything from the sheep family except for a ram, is one isarin with three logim of oil. In the case of a ram, it's two asurinim and four. In the case of a ram, it's two asurinim and four logim. And in the case of cattle, it's three asurinim and six logim. So they're very different. Than the omer, the minchas koyanim, each of which is one isurin and one log. Mugash, and again you have hagasha that we said that the minchas omer and the minchas koyanim both require to be touched to the mizbeach. The minchas nesachim does not. Biglal. and Biglal Etzem, and also the point that the Minchas Pesachim is being brought because of something else, whereas the Omer and the Minchas Kohanim are being brought independently. So for all those reasons, again, we should say that if the Torah is implying that there's some korban that doesn't have Levona, more logically it should be the Minchas Nesachim. But the Gemara says, Adraba, Minchas Nesachim have a little rabbi, but shouldn't we learn on the other hand that we should say we should include the Minchas Nesachim, which also has many factors that make it similar to the Omer, and which the Minchas Koyanim does not. Tzibura, again, they're both korban tzibur. Choyva, they're both required to be brought, as opposed to the Minchas Kohanim is optional. The Itami, both of them are Dorcha Tumah. The Shamsa, both of them take place on Shabbos. Now, when it comes to the Minchas Nesachim, I mean, when it depends whether we're talking about the Minchas Nesachim of an individual or the Tzibur, but here we're talking about when the Tzibur brings certain Korbanos, they have to bring them there. When they bring the Tumah, when they bring the Musafim, they have to bring a Minchas, Nesachim with those, and those are required, and those are Dorcha Shabbos, and those are Dorcha Tumah. As opposed to the Minchas Kohanim has none of the above. So the answer is again, Misabra Nefesh. It's more logical since the Torah says Levoina first in connection with Nefesh. When an individual person brings a korban, then we should assume that it's when the individual brings a korban, that's when there has to be Levoina, and that means as many cases as possible, namely including the Minchas Kohanim. Okay. Next, the Brai said, finished off, Mincha l'rabas Minchas Shmini l'levoina. When we said the word Mincha, when it said Mincha hi, by the Omer, then we said that includes also that the Mincha that was brought on the eighth day of the Miluim also required l'levoina, even though the Torah doesn't specify it. So then we're asked, Emel ha-hoitzi, why? Maybe on the contrary, maybe the word Mincha there is coming to tell us that the Mincha of the eighth day should not require l'levoina. In other words, the question is, one of the Mephoshim, Korban Aaron, explains, the Gemara's question is like this. We said in the Braisa that when it says Mincha comes to include the Minchas Shmini, and when it said he, we said that comes to exclude the Shtei Alechem. Maybe the other way around, maybe we should say that the word Mincha comes to include the Shtei Alechem and say that they require Levoina, and the word he would be to be Mamayat, the Mincha of the eighth day, and say that does not require Levoina. So the Gemara says, "Hi, Mai. What kind of a question is that? If you say that the word mincha is coming to include the minchas shmini, well, then good. Then we understand why we would have thought, because the minchas shmini is a one-time thing in history, so we wouldn't have known that the regular dinim of menachas applied to it." But if you were to tell me that it's coming to exclude it and say it doesn't require Levoina Lamali, there would be no reason why should the Pasuk have to specify it. Anyway, we would not think to learn something that's done as a one-time thing in history from something that's done in future generations. So therefore, it's clear if the Torah is telling us something about Minchas Shmini, it has to be to include it, that even though it's a one-time korban, nevertheless, it still has the same dinim as korbanos in future generations. Next, we said he lahotzi es shtei alechem. We said Brais had finished off that the word he in the pasuk about the omer comes to exclude the shtei alechem shleitanu l'shamen v'levoina, that they don't require either oil or levoina. And the idea is, in other words, because the mincha he is referring to everything that it says in the pasuk over there. It mentioned oil, it mentioned levoina, and therefore we're going to say when it says he means it comes to exclude the shtei alechem from both of those things. Well, the question is ve'em lahotzi. Maybe on the contrary, maybe it's coming to exclude Minchas Kohanim and say that they shouldn't require oil or levoina. Before we tried to say that maybe earlier in the pasuk when it says no oil would refer to a Minchas Kohanim, and we said no, because it says nefesh and no levoina. Also, we tried to say maybe it's a Minchas Kohanim, and again we said nefesh, but now the Gemara is going to say maybe in fact the pasuk is telling us after all that this is an exception to the usual rule and it has neither oil nor levoina. So the answer is Misabra Minchas Kohanim Havalei L'Rabboi. Again, we should consider that there's reason to say that the Minchas Kohanim is going to be included and have all the dinim of the Minchas Omer that has both oil and levoina for similar reasons that we said before. Shekein Isorin, again, both of them are made of an Isorin of flour, as opposed to the Shtei Alechem are not, where all the Shtei Alechem is as two esurinim total. It's one esurin per loaf, but it's still two esurinim total because there's shtei alachem. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, you have to have both shtei alachem. So they're both made of an esurin keli. They both require a keli, as we talked about before, to knead it in or to knead it in. So we have Rashi had said to knead it in toast because it said maybe it means to offer it. That's offered in a keli as opposed to lachem aponim is offered on the shulchan. So now Tosfos points out over there that here when we're talking about the Tu'una Kli, then you can't say that because the Shtei Lechem is not brought in any Keli that's any different than anything else, so therefore we would have to go back to Rashi's explanation that it means that the Minchas Kohenim requires a Kli Shoris, that it's put in, that the flour is measured in, and that it's kneaded in or whatever, even before it's baked, as opposed to the Shtei Lechem becomes holy only when it's baked. So both of them require a keli. Matzah, both of them are matzah, as opposed to the shtei alech machomets. The etzem, both of them are come independently, not in connection with a korban. Granted, we learned before, actually, that the shtei alechem can come independently without kvasim, according to Rabbi Akiva, but nevertheless, basically, they're meant to come together with a korban. As opposed to the Minchas Kohenim is designed to be coming independently, and the Omer also, there are Korbanos that are brought together with the Omer, but they're not tied to it in a sense. There's no waving them together. They're just like basically a second Musaf for the day. So you have that, Hagosha. Again, both the Omer and the Minchas Kohenim have to be touched to the corner of the Mizbeach, as opposed to the Shtei Lechem. The Ishim, both of them have parts that are burnt on the fire, the Minchas Kohenim completely, and the Minchas Omer part of it, whereas the Shtei Lechem, nothing of it is burnt on the Mizbeach. So you have many reasons to say that if the Torah is telling us that there's a difference between the Omer and a different korban, it's more logical to say that different korban is the Shtei Lechem rather than to say that it's the Mincha of the Kohenim. Okay, but the Gemara says Adraba, but on the contrary, Shtei Lechem have a little bit of you could have reasons to say that you include the Shtei Lechem and say that those do require oil and Levona. And exclude the Minchas Kohenim from both of them. Shekain, because again, you have many similarities between the Omer and the Shtei Lechem. Tzibur, both of them are korban sibur. Chovah, both of them are required to be brought, as opposed to the Minchas Kohenim is optional. Kamya, both of them are doicha tuma. De'ochal, both of them are eaten, as opposed to the Minchas Kohenim is burnt. Pigula, both of them there's pigul, as we said before. The Shtei Lechem, there can definitely be pigul with them. We talked about previously what happens, for example, that if he has a thought of pigul while shechting the kvasim, then the Shtei Lechem themselves will become pigul as well. Minchas Kohenim, on the other hand, it's impossible to make a pigul because there's no matir. As far as the Omer, as we talked about before, Tosfos points out, according to Rava, it's true, the Omer can't be pigul either, but if we say not like that, or Gemara is apparently saying not like that, then the Omer could become pigul. Whereas again, the korban of a Kohen cannot. The Shamsa, both of them are doich, both the lechem upon him, both the Shtei Lechem and the Minchas Omer are doich Shabbos because they're a korban sibur. Rashi points out it is true that the Shtei Lechem will have to be baked before Shabbos. We're going to discuss that later in the Masechta, but the fact is that the fact is they are offered on Shabbos, whereas the Minchas Kohenim is not. Matir, both of them are matir something. The Omer makes it mutter to eat chodosh, as we'll learn in the next parak, that's Hashem. The Shtei Lechem makes it mutter to use chodosh for korbanos. Tnufa, both of them are waved, as opposed to a Minchas Kohenim is not waved. Ba'aretz, both of them have to come from grain from Eretz Yisrael, as we're going to learn in the next parak. Choda and Bizman, both of them have a fixed time, the second day of Pesach and Shavuos, respectively. Chodosh, and both of them are brought from that year's new grain crop, as opposed to a Minchas Kohenim can be brought from grain from previous years as well. And Vahani Nefishan, and unlike in all the other arguments that we were trying before, here we have many more reasons even if you want to say that fine, in all the other cases we had exactly balanced the number of reasons on each side, here we have many more ways in which the Omer is similar to the Shtei Lechem than it is to a Minchas Kohenim, so shouldn't that win out, and therefore we should say that if there's going to be something that's similar to the Omer and have oil on the loin, then more logically it ought to be the Shtei Lechem. And the answer is again, Mistabra Nefesh, it's most logical since Torah specifies oil and Lavona to begin with by a korban brought by an individual, the nefesh kisakriv, then it's going to apply across the board to a mincha brought by an individual where possible. So again, you have a couple that I mentioned in the Mishnah, minchas choyte, and then minchas knois, that don't, fine, but there the Torah specifies no oil or Lavona. But other than that, every other individual's mincha should have oil and Lavona, no matter, even though you have many more similarities with the Sheh Lechem, nevertheless, since we have a miut in the Pasuk, since we have a ribui and a miut in the Pasuk, more logical to include the Minchas Kohanim and exclude the Sheh Lechem from having oil or Lavona. So from all this discussion emerges what we said in the Mishnah, the lists that we said in the Mishnah, where you have the 10 types that require oil and Lavona, the last of which is Minchas Omer, and then you had the other ones where we said the Minchas Nisachim and the Lachem Aponim and the Shnei Lechem are different in that regard. Okay. Now, when we said at the end of the previous Mishnah that the Minchas Choyte and the Minchas Knois, those don't have oil or Lavona. Now, by both of them, the Torah specifies no oil and no Lavona. Lo Yitna La Hashemen, Lo Yitna La Hashemen, Lo Yitna La Hashemen, Lo Yosma La Hashemen, whatever, by the different psukim, and you shouldn't put Lavona on it either. Now, unlike, for example, we learned yesterday, for example, when the Torah tells us ki chosa erga chodavash le'saktiru, where the Torah tells us one loy for the two things, and we talked about that it can be considered a lav shebechlolos, one lav that includes various things. Here, the Torah, in both cases, by the minchas choyte and by the minchas knois, clearly spells out individually by each one of them loy, no putting shemen and no putting levoinim. So therefore, v'chayev al shemen v'chnei, v'chayev al levoinim v'chnei. So now, a person will be chayev individually a malchus for putting oil on a minchas choyte or for putting levoina on a minchas choyte, and the same thing with the mincha of the choyte. So you just chayev each one individually because it's clearly two separate lavim. Okay, the Kedon Oda points out that after all, maybe the Torah put them in separate lavim because they have different shiurim. Shed oil, a person would be chayev any amount. Lavoina only if it's a kazayis. But nevertheless, the Mishnah is telling us that it's not so. Fine. Okay. Next, continues the Mishnah. Nosan alei shemen. If he did put oil on a minchas choyte, besides the fact that he's chayev malchus psala, then he passed the mincha, and there's no way to fix it up because you can't unoil the mincha. Lavoina, on the other hand, if you put lavoina on it, lavoina comes as granules. That's lavoina is basically the dried sap of a tree. In English, it's called frankincense. It comes from certain trees. It flows as a sap, and then it congeals into flake like things. And that's Lavoina. So if you put Lavoina on a mincha of a choyte, then fine, you could tenor, the mincha is not possible, just collect all the Lavoina and take it off. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, Nosan Shemen al Shioreha, if after the koimetz was taken from the minchas choyte, if afterwards he put oil on the shirayim, then fine, ain't over loisas there, he's not over on a loisas there with that. Once the koimetz has been taken out, then it's not a problem to put oil on it. So the Minchas Chinuch learns the fact that it says ain't over implies that there's an isser. The Rambam also writes it as a b'dieved dicker thing. And Mefarshim discuss where exactly do we get, after all, the Torah is talking about when the mincha is intact, that you shouldn't put it. So where do we get taka that there should be any issur to do it? Any issur to do it after the fact? So the Sfas Emes brings up a couple of possibilities. One thing is the Gemara explained at the beginning of the Masechta that the reason behind no oil and Lavoina on it, even though Reb Shimon had pointed out in the Gemara over there, you would think there's a logical reason it should require oil and Lavoina, make the Choyte have to spend extra, but the Torah doesn't want that his Korban should be beautiful. Well, then by the same token, if you're putting on it after the fact as well, it's making the Korban beautiful, and therefore you shouldn't do it. Fine, there's no Malchus anymore, but nevertheless it would be awesome. And then this Sfas Emes says another reason could be that's Midrash Rabbanan, because if you allow him to put it afterwards, he might put it before the Kmitzah, and for that matter also, it's not Derech Eretz. Koimetz, which goes to Hashem, should be just plain flour, and the part that the Koyanim are going to eat should have oil in it. So for all those reasons, that implies that's B'diyah. But on the other hand, the Chofetz Chaim brings in Zevach Toida, brings from Toras Koyanim, that you could do it even L'chatchila. Okay. Fine. So if he put oil on the shirayim, ain't over the loisa. He's not over on a loisa. Again, according to the Rambam and according to the Minchas Chinuch, it means it would be also to do it lachatchila, and it's mutter only b'diavad. And according to the Chavetz Chaim, it would be, and according to Teres Koyim and the Chavetz Chaim, it would be mutter even lachatchila. Nosin kli agabe kli. What happens if he puts a container of oil or a container of lavoina on top of the container with the minchas chayta loy psala? He didn't passel. In other words, you shouldn't think when the Torah tells us don't put oil on it or don't put lavoina on it means even just putting a keli that contain those things on top of it. So no, it doesn't passel it. And Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that in fact it means he wouldn't even be over. He wouldn't be over on a lav. When he put Lavona on it, then he would be over on a lav, except the Mishnah had said there's a way to fix it up by picking the Lavona off it, but here where he puts a Kaili, then he's not even over on Esau. So we must have turned our bottom. We learn in a Braisa. Let's talk about the details of these dinim. When it says "Lo yosim aleha shemen," he shouldn't put oil on the he shouldn't put oil on it. They were talking about the minchas chote. The imsum. Now, if he did put oil posel, then he passels the mincha. Yochol lo yitnei aleha levoina v'im nasan posel. So you would think the same thing applies to levoina, where the posel continues. You shouldn't put levoina on it. Maybe also putting levoina makes it posel. No, Tamalama ki chatas. No, because the positive says ki chatas he, so in other words, it's still called a chatas, it's still able to function as a chatas even though Levoina was placed on it. Yochalat the shemen, so then you would go back and say, well, maybe the same thing would apply to the oil. No, Tamalama he, therefore the positive says ki chatas he, and the word he is a miut, that when you put something on it, it loses its status as a chatas. Tosfos points out that the Gemara has used this word he for different drashas. So we have actually there were three different drashas. Now Tosfos points out twice it says by the minchas chayta chatas he. So fine, you have two he's available to dashin from. But Tosfos points out that the Gemara here and in other places altogether is learning three things from it. First of all, that the kmitza was done shalom b'shmar it's possible. Then we're saying here that Lavona doesn't make it possible. And at the end of the Masechta, we're going to learn a third thing that the minchas chavitin of the Kohen Gadol is not called a chatas. So how are we learning three? How are we learning three drushes from it? So later on in the Masechta, Tosfos explains how we're able to do that. The fact that it says chatas and the fact that it says chatas here. So anyway, so the point is, so we have on the one hand, we have a ribui in the pasuk from the word chatas that no matter what, it still retains its status as a chatas. On the other hand, we have a miut from the word he. Well then, so Mara Issa, so what makes you, so Mara Issa lifts up a shemen of a hashab levoina, so what's your logic that tells you that it'll be possible if you put oil, but it'll be kosher if you put levoina? The reason is, as we said in the Mishnah, posel ani b'shemen, she actually lacked, because it's more logical to say that oil makes it possible because you can't pick it out afterwards. Once oil is poured in, it gets absorbed into the flour and that's that. On the other hand, I'm going to say that's kosher when it comes to Lavoina, because after all, you can pick it off afterwards, so there's more logical reason to say that it doesn't pass all the mincha permanently. Well, the Gemara says, well then, Rabba Bar Rav Huna asks Rabbi Yechanan, what about, so we're saying that usually Lavoina is easy to pick off because it comes in the form of these large granules or flakes. But what about nothing ala lavoina shchuka? What about if you ground up the lavoina and then sprinkled it on the minchas chayta? Mahu, what would be the din? Would we say mishum de efshel loikta? So the Braisa had said that it's still kosher because you're able to pick off the lavoina. Well, now that's ground up the whole loy efshel loikta. Here you're not able to, so therefore the mincha should be possible. Oduma mishum de nivla. Well, maybe the key thing is that the lavoina doesn't get absorbed into the mincha because it's a solid and it doesn't get absorbed into another solid. V'honami as opposed to the oil, which does. V'honami le mivla in that case. Then even if the lavoina is ground up, it still doesn't get absorbed into the mincha. So maybe, in other words, you would take off whatever you could and whatever you would take off. Or if you could, let's say you could take off every little bit of it, then the mincha would be kosher after all. So the Gemara says, Toshma, well, let's prove. Our Mishnah had said, Lavoina Yokatena, that if you put Lavoina on it, you should pick it off. Implying that only because you can pick it off is it kosher. Implying that if it was ground up and you can't necessarily pick off all of it, then it should be possible. The Gemara says, no, Dilma Chodavoid, comma. Maybe the Mishnah is telling us two things. Chodavoid Mivla. First of all, the main reason is because Lavona doesn't get absorbed into the Mincha. And furthermore, second of all, Yuchatena anyway, another reason is because you can pick it off. But the primary reason would be that it's not absorbed, and therefore that what would apply even to ground up Lavona. So no proof from that. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Well, we can prove from the Braisa that we quoted, Machshani B'Lavona She'efshu L'Loifta, where it said that I'm saying that it's kosher if you put Lavona on a Minchas Fota because you could pick it off, implying that the reason, now, unlike in the Mishnah, where it just said Yukatena, you should pick it off, the Braisa clearly says Efshu L'Loifta, it's possible to, and then implying that that is the reason why it's kosher in that case. And the answer is, again, also Hokanami Chodeva Oid Karma. Maybe the Braisa is also saying two things. First of all, even if it weren't for the fact that it can be picked off, there would be reason to be maxed through it, because unlike oil, it doesn't get absorbed. But then, on top of that, anyway, Lavona, you're able to pick off in most cases when it's not ground up. Okay, so there's no proof one way or the other, and in the end, the Rambam paskins that because of the Gemara leaves it as a suffix, and therefore the Rambam says the Mincha is possible, mis suffix, because we're not sure which is the key factor that would make it possible in this case where the Lavona was ground up. Okay. So actually, we haven't really finished the discussion yet, actually, but so the Gemara says, my havi Allah. Well, we don't have a proof one way or the other. So what's the bottom line? Is it possible if you put ground up Lavoin on it or not? The answer is, Omer of Nachman, Tanya. Well, we learn in a Braisa from which we can answer the question. Minchas Choyte or Minchas Knoes Shenosin Allah Lavoina. If you put Lavoina on a Minchas Choyte or Minchas Knoes, Melakat Salavoina, then you pick off the Lavoina, Rukshera, and the Mincha remains kosher. The Im actually look at Lavoinosa Chishav Aleha. Now, here's a point, the Braisa says, suppose that. And the point is, once you take off the Lavona, then it returns to its full status of being a kosher to Mincha. As we said before, since it says Chatos in the Pasuk, that implies that even after Lavona was placed on it, it's still able to be restored to being a Chatos by taking off the Lavona. So now the Braisa continues. The Imam Shalai looked at Lavonosa. If before you picked off the Lavona, Chishav Aleha, you had a thought that would passel the Korban. Shalai Chutz Mana, Chutz Makomoy, Shalai Lishma, etc. Bein chutzas mano, whether he had a thought of chutzas mano, which would make it pigle, bein chutzas makoimo, or a thought of eating it or burning it chutzas makoimo, which would make it possible. So either way, possible the Enbo Chorus. Either way, at that point, the korban becomes possible, but there's no chorus in it. So it becomes possible because Rashi explains, because he had a thought of possible on it. So therefore, that makes it possible. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says that the vote is because at this point, if he does the kmitza, then and the Lavoina is on the mincha and it doesn't yet function as a mincha because a mincha's choita can't have Lavoina on it, then therefore at this point the kmitza is possible. So therefore it's going to be possible because of that. So therefore it's possible that in Bekorah the imishal liket Lavoinasa, but if after And Rashi points out, we learned earlier in the Masechta, we said that a korban can be piggle only if there's no other psul involved, and here there's a psul because as long as there's a lavoina on the mincha, it's possible. But now the Braisa continues, the imishal likit lavoinasa, if after he picked off the lavoina and brought the mincha back to being kosher mincha, if at that point machashav alaha, at that point he starts having thoughts that would pass all the korban, then it does. Chutz l'mekayim, possible the ein bei koris, if he has a thought of chutz l'mekayim, then it'll be possible, but there's no koris as usual with chutz l'mekayim, chutz l'zmane, but if he has a thought of chutz l'zmane, pigul v'chayov and olav koris, then pigul will apply and he'll be chayav, and person will be chayav koris for eating it as usual with pigul. So we see, in other words, from this braisa, that as long as the Lavona is on it, it's possible, implying that if you take off the Lavona, then it's fine. So that explains, fine. The question as far as ground, so that would answer the question as far as ground Lavona. If you're physically able to take off all of it, then good. If not, then not. So it's not a matter of, it's not like the oil where we said once you put oil on, automatically it becomes possible and there's no way of fixing it up. With Lavona, the fact is it doesn't get absorbed. Therefore, you do have the option of picking it all off. And if you're able to successfully pick it all off, then the mincha will be kosher and you can continue from there. So that would seem to be a proof that that you can do that. But on the other hand, when it comes to ground up Levina, since realistically it's going to be impossible to get all of it off, then the mincha will remain possible. Okay, and again, the Rambam paskens accordingly. That the Rambam says that after all, it's a suffix, and therefore it's possible. So the Gemara asks, but why should when we're saying that if before he picked off the Levoina, if at that point he had a thought of Chutz Mani or Chutz Mekayim, then he said the Mincha is possible, either as Rashi says because of the Machshava, or as Tosfos says because the Kmitza itself is being done at a time when the Mincha is possible. The question is, V'tehevi Pach, why shouldn't we consider that it's the equivalent of a jug of oil having been spilled on the mincha? Meaning, in other words, that as long as Levoina is on it, the fact is it should be the equivalent. How can a thought of psul have any effect on the mincha? We're saying that when you pick off the Levoina, then the mincha will be kosher, and then at that point a machshava can make a pigle, but implying that before that also it's able to become posel because of the machshava. Why? At this point, when the Levoina is on it, it's completely off limits, it's completely unsuitable for a mincha. How can a machshava have any effect on it at all? The answer is, so it should be considered the equivalent of as if a jug of oil spilled on it. Right now, it's not kosher. So why should machshava pasul it? Shouldn't it be considered? Right now, that it's dochli, it's pushed away, it's rejected from being brought to the mincha, and therefore machshava should have no more effect on it than it would on any other flower of cholin. The answer is, Amar Abaye, chatas kari rachmana. Because after all, when we just said that the Torah says the word chatas, and we said that includes where there's levoina on it, that it's still called a chatas, because as the Brai said, you can pick off the levoina, and therefore that means that it's still called a chatas to the extent, therefore, that a machshava is able to pass with it. So Tosfos wonders then, what's the chiddush? What is the chiddush exactly that Abaye is saying? I mean, that was what we were assuming. That was what we were assuming in the first place, wasn't it? So Tosfos brings that actually. It seems that somebody miswrote in their copy of the Gemara over here because they misunderstood. So Tosfos discusses over here there needs to be a different gusa in the Gemara in order to make it make sense. In fact, the Sfas Emes points out the gusa that we have in front of us is from Rashi. Ultimately, then it's because he said chatasi means that after you take off the levoina, it's kosher. Abaye is saying even when the levoina is on it, then it still works to the extent that a machshava can pass it. So it's still called a chatas. So that's Abaye's answer. Rava says, here's a different answer, Hamani Chonan Amitzrihu, because this Braisa is according to the opinion of Chonan Amitzri, de Lesle de Chulin. He does not hold of the whole concept of Dochui. He holds that even when a korban is temporarily disqualified, then we still say that nevertheless it's still as once we take away the psul, then it becomes completely kosher again. So in other words, the Gemara was thinking that when you put levoin on it, you pasul it, and it remains pasul, and it has still a remains pasul during that time when levoin is on it to the extent that a machshava can't pasul it. Rava's answer is that no, even during that time, it still is considered to have the status of a korban, even though right now in practice you can't bring it because Levoina is on it, but it still has the status of a korban, therefore machshava can affect it. As we find, Chonan Mitzri's opinion, the Tanya, we learn in a braisa in connection with the two goats on Yom Kippur, the Surah, one of them is going to end up being the Surah LaShem and the other one the Surah LaZazah. So now the Mishnah describes in the Sefer Yuma what happens if one of them dies before you do whatever you're supposed to do with it, bringing the one LaShem as a korban and sending off the one LaZazah to be thrown off the cliff. So now the Mishnah describes over there how, according to the Chachamim, if one of them dies, then you have to leave, the other one is disqualified as well, and you have to start over with a whole new pair. On the other hand, the Braisa says Chon Hamitzuyma after the dam bakos. No, even if the blood is in the cup. Even in other words, the Sur LaShem was already shechted, and the blood is already in the Mizrach. And now at this point, the Sur LaZazel dies. You still don't say it. You don't say that the Tzor Lashem now becomes possible and we should have to spill out the blood and store it over with another two. No, maybe Chaveda, Shaloi Ba'agrola, you can bring another goat without making another goat or Mazadagloi and pair it up with the other one. And then the one Lazazel can be sent off Lazazel and the new one that you, and then the new one, or the new, the other way around, the one that you already shechted will be the Tzor Lashem and the new one that you bought will become the new Tzor Lazazel. So you see, in other words, that even though temporarily the blood of the Tzor Lashem was possible once the Tzor Hamashtarech died, nevertheless, Chonon HaMitzri says that even during that time, it's still considered to have its kedusha, and therefore, as soon as possible, you can bring another Tzor and designate it as the Tzor Lazazel and continue from there. So therefore, so you see, by the same token, just because the Mincha has Lavoin on it, doesn't mean, says Rava, that it should be immune to any thoughts of psul. A thought of psul can still affect it. Rav Ashi gives the third answer. You don't even have to say it. It's according to Chonon HaMitzri specifically, kol shebi yodei, when the person has the ability to remove the psul, in this case by taking off the levona, lo yehavei dochli, then it's not considered dochli. Dochli would be with something where you don't have the ability on your own to fix up the situation. Various cases that we have in halacha of that. Tosis points out, for example, we learned in Zvachim that an example where the Mizbeach was damaged and Korbonus that existed at that time were possible. So Tosis actually wonders then in that case, why should it be considered? It is the Yodei. After all, you do have the Yodei to fix the Mizbeach, so why should it be considered Dochli following this logic? Tosis in some other places in Shas discusses and says, and says there would be a difference. One difference is Achronim talk about is that the yodei would mean with the thing itself that he's dealing with, he has the ability to fix it up. Like here with the mincha that had levoina sprinkled, that he has the ability to remove the levoina. As opposed to there, you're talking about that it's a separate thing. You have one person with the korban. He's not dealing with the mizbeach right now. The fact that the mizbeach can be fixed is not necessarily considered the yodei. Anyway, the point is, Rav Ashi is saying here, where he has the ability to remove the levoina, then we can't consider it dochui, and therefore, even before you remove the levoina, there's still a possibility for the machshava to passel the korban. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Abba, kavaseid Rav Ashi nistabra. It's logical to say, like Rav Ashi, that's the explanation of it. The man shamas leji isle dechuyin. Which Tana do we find holds of the concept of dochli, that once something is pushed off and rejected from being a korban, then it can't necessarily be fixed up after the fact? Rabbi Yehuda, that would be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. It's not, as we learn in Yuma, in connection with the two serim, but Oyd Amar Rabbi Yehuda, that furthermore Rabbi Yehuda had said, besides previous dinim that it talks about over there, about what happens when one of them becomes unavailable. Rabbi Yehuda furthermore says, Nishpach Hadam, if the blood of the Tzor Lashem is spilled before you could sprinkle it inside the Hechel, then Yomu Samashkaleach, and we actually have to take the Tzor Hamashkaleach and lock it up and leave it to die, and we have to store it over with two seerim. Mes HaMeshtaleach, and vice versa. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the Tzor HaMeshtaleach, the Tzor HaLazazel dies before you have a chance to send it off, Yishopach HaDam, then we have to spill out the blood of the Tzor HaLashem and store it over with you. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that once something is dochui, it can never be reinstated again. On the other hand, we see that where it is possible, where you have the yodei, where you have the ability to fix up the situation, Tanya, we find that Rabbi Yehuda himself says, we're Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that when you have blood of a korban Pesach that may have spilled out of the mizrach onto the floor and not been sprinkled on the mizbeach, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, koisam yamalim damataruvus, Rabbi Yehuda says they would fill up a cup, a container, from the mixed blood on the floor, which can include blood from a korban Pesach that may have not reached the mizbeach, the zorkas rikachas k'neged ha'yisoid, and you dash it one time on the mizbeach above the yisoid, and that way, if there was a korban Pesach where the blood spilled before it reached the mizbeach, then this way you'll be machshir it. Now, this is an example of dochui, because when it was spilled on the floor, at that point, it was unsuitable to bring it on the mizbeach. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda says you can fix it up by collecting it off the floor. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda himself, who holds of dochui, holds that when the other, when you have the ability to fix it up, then there's no problem. And the same way over here, then he would be the one who says that that even when you put Levoin on a Minchas Chota and they were bypassed, that nevertheless it's still you're able to, because you're able to fix it up by removing the Levoina, therefore even before you fix it up, then therefore it has to a certain extent status of a korban to the extent where Machshava of Chutzpah's Lemkoyma or Chutzpah's Manu is able to affect it. It won't make it piggle, but it will make it pussy.